Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This Independence Day, wrap yourself in comfort and freedom with Minky Couture. From stars, stripes, and snuggles to cozy classics, our luxury blankets are proudly made to comfort. Whether you're watching fireworks or hosting backyard barbecues, be proud to be cozy all summer long. Celebrate comfort. Celebrate freedom. Celebrate you. Shop now at MinkyCouture.com and make your 4th of July unforgettably cozy.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 646. On the podcast today, I have Tony O'Reilly, CEO of Providence Resources. That's PVR ticker. Covers today's news regarding the contract signed for the drill ship and the planned spud date for the assets of Druid and Drombeg. Also on the podcast today, I have Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talking about Andlas Energy and Breeden Group, and also Chris Bailey, founder of Financial Orbit, covers Thomas Cook Group, HSS Hire, and Randgold Resources. Plus, I have today's suggested one for your watch list, which is Geiger Counter Limited. That's GCL, suggested by Catflap. Thank you very much for submitting that. And of course, as always, I've got the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs on the website today. Okay, if you're new to the podcast, let me point something out. This podcast is about investment ideas. Now, not all ideas work out. Some can be excellent, some can be mediocre, some can be disastrous. This is where you have to decide. People on this podcast talk about investments they're probably involved with. If they don't state they are, you know, just take it that they are. All right. So that way you have to do your own research. Treat it like a dragon's den. People walk in there with investment ideas. It's up to the dragons to decide whether they invest or not. I hope that's clear. Always do your own research on any stock that's mentioned on this podcast.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Tony O'Reilly, Chief Executive Officer of Providence Resources. That's PVR ticker. Tony, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Justin.
Now, you've had some good news out. It's all, on track, but I'm not going to say exactly what it is. First and foremost, if people haven't heard of Providence Resources, I know you've got a lot of going on, a lot of assets there, but could you give a summary, Tony, as to what Providence is all about, please?
Yeah, I mean, Providence is an Irish-focused oil and gas company with a portfolio of appraisal and exploration assets offshore Ireland. We've been operating offshore Ireland for 35 years. We have significant appraisal assets in our Berry Row and our Spanish Point projects. And then we have very considerable exploration prospects off the west coast of Ireland, an area that has seen the arrival of many super majors in the 2015 Atlantic Margin licensing round. And the key point is we've been there. We sort of plowed our path and secured acreage, worked it up, and now we're at the drilling stage. But it's great to have the associated comfort of having super majors coming into your backyard. Kind of validates everything that we've said about offshore Ireland for all these years.
Yeah, well, that's very interesting, isn't it? Because I don't know what number the offshore round was, but the last one, like you said, was all the majors were in it. But previously to that, there was no interest. And I saw this interest sort of flipped around, didn't it, because of discoveries and money spent in Canada, which is geologically very similar. Is that the case?
Yeah, that is true. And I think, just to put it in context, we, in our corporate presentation, which is on our website, you can see a map which shows, the evolution of licenses from 2004, when we went out there and secured two licenses and there was nobody else there, to 2016, where you've had the arrival of, Statoil, Exxon, BP, CNOOC, Nexen, Woodside, Cairn, et cetera, E&I. So, I mean, it is a pretty illustrious group. And yes, people are looking at Ireland now in the context of what's happening in eastern Canada. Historically, Ireland always used to be viewed as a sort of adjunct to the North Sea. And I think what's changed over the last few years is that change where people are looking at what's happening in offshore Canada. Then they're looking at what's happening offshore Ireland. Obviously, we drilled a well with ExxonMobil in 2013, which proved a petroleum system in the Porcupine Basin. It was the first key well in the basin. So it was the combination of those two elements, what's happening in Canada as well as what's happening in Ireland, that I think has promoted such a level of interest from the supermajors. Now, we've always believed it, we've always said this, but as I say, it's nice to get the comfort now and the validation of all these companies coming in and endorsing what we've said.
Okay, so let's go into today's RNS announcement, and it's the operational update. Can you take us through it, please, Tony?
Yeah, well, this morning we announced, it's really a follow-on announcement to an announcement that we put out at the beginning of November where we announced after a rig tender process that we had basically signed a letter of intent with an unnamed party for a rig to drill the Druid prospect next summer, which is a 3 billion barrel prospective resource target off the West Coast. And this morning's announcement was just the sort of the further step in terms of that we'd signed the contract with Stena Drilling for the provision of the Stena IceMax drillship to drill Druid next summer. It's a good rate, $185,000 a day. It's a great rig. It's one of the most modern rigs in the world, built in 2012. So it's a very positive step. It's another major milestone for the company in terms of delivering on this exploration program which our shareholders endorsed when we raised capital earlier in the year. They wanted us to be able to go out and capture the low-cost environment and drill what has to be described as one of the largest exploration prospects in the world. Certainly, it's going to be drilled in the next 12 months.
Yeah, definitely. And just go over the figures here again of, all in place. What were the figures you just mentioned?
Well, the cumulative figures for Druid is about 3.1 billion barrels of oil equivalent. And that really arose from exploration collaboration agreement that we had with Schlumberger back in 2015, where we basically gave them our 3D that we had acquired over the license. And said, okay, well, you do all your technical analysis and come back with a sort of a net point. And all this is listed on our website. But as I say, it's, you know, it is 3.18 billion barrels P-mean cumulative in place unrisked prospective resources at Druid. So that is a very significant resource base for anywhere in the world. And what today's announcement was securing the rig to be able to effect that drilling at very competitive rates. We also secured an option for a further well, if we so choose, to be elected by us at our discretion by May 1st. So I think it's a very positive announcement. Now we're just moving forward with all the permitting and regulatory elements to effect it. But obviously the key thing is, first of all, can you get a better kit to do the drilling? And we think we've got one of the best rigs in the world now at a very competitive price.
Excellent stuff. And of course, so it's interesting because it's explained, put it in people's heads, that Druid sits on top of Drombeg, doesn't it? So you'd be drilling both, wouldn't you?
Well, right now we're just geared up for drilling Druid, but we've kept the options open that we could also drill the Drombeg. We could deepen to the Drombeg resource, which is about 2.2 billion barrels P-mean. Or sorry, 1.9 billion barrels P-mean. We've always said our shareholders gave us the money to drill Druid. If we can then subsequently do other farm outs, or if the well is cheaper, then we could look to deepen. So those options are open to us.
Yeah, well, that was my next question. Are you still sort of open to farm outs? And obviously you are.
Absolutely. But again, what our shareholders wanted to do was put us in funds to make sure that we weren't reliant on farm outs in what could only be described as a very fickle farm out market. So they said, go ahead, we'll give you the money, go and book the rig. And if you can get a farm out deal that makes sense, you know, do a farm out deal. But if you're going to drill it by yourself, drill it by yourselves or with our partner, Cecina. Yeah. So we are running a farm out process. There's lots of interest. And, you know, I can't say any more than that at this stage, but we've been encouraged by the level of interest. And obviously now people know that we have a rig, so they can quantify the costs a lot better with the rig rate, et cetera. You know, this is a well that, you know, is going to be less than $35 million to drill. And that's kind of an astounding figure when you think 3 or 4 years ago, a well probably would have cost north of $200 million. And it just shows you the contraction in prices in the market.
And so how long do you expect the drill to take, Tony?
The actual drilling program is, you know, it's anywhere from 30 to 60 days, depending on the program and weather. We've got lots of scenarios that we play. But it's that sort of order of magnitude, a month to 2 months. So June, July next year are going to be very exciting periods for our shareholders.
Definitely, yeah. And I suppose having the cash, and that must put you in a stronger position as regards, you know, talking about farmouts and agreeing for farmouts. Is that the case?
Yeah, obviously, it puts you in a better position because commercially you don't need to do it. So you can do something that is, you know, makes sense. You'll only do a deal if it makes sense. It does put you in a stronger position.
Okay. Marvellous, Tony. Well, listen, at Vox Markets, every day on the podcast, I cover the top five most followed companies. And so if you could, Tony, you give someone listening right now who's not following you three reasons why they should hit that follow button on Providence Resources, please?
Well, I think they should follow us because we've got the largest portfolio offshore Ireland, an area that has really had seen the arrival of all the super majors, and we sit in the center of it with the most advanced portfolio. And specifically then, the other 2 points I would say is, you know, here you shareholders have a chance, or investors have a chance, to get involved in the drilling of a high impact exploration well at Druid. And then of course, as many people who've watched this company in the past know, we have two big appraisal assets, Barry Row and Spanish Point, where there's the prospective opportunity to get farm-ins done on those assets and drill and then turn our contingent 2C resources to 2P status. So those are kind of the three major points I would draw investors' attention to. And the key point is we're doing things, which is important.
Yeah, exactly. Marvellous. And so, like I say, very busy 6 months, 7 months ahead of you right now. And so what kind of news can we expect, in the next few sort of months or so?
Well, again, I don't want to prejudge the outcome of farm out conversations, but we'll be ramping up for the drilling program. And obviously, we're actively pursuing the farm out conversations on Barry Row and Spanish Point. That's those three main areas, Barry Row, Spanish Point, and Druid. We hope we'll have more news flow on some, or if not all, of those assets over the coming weeks and months.
Marvellous. Tony, lovely to chat to you, and I look forward to chatting to you more when you have some more news out. Thanks very much.
Great. Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You're on, Al.
Season's greetings from the South Coast, Jus. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, well, do you know what? The markets feel a bit bearish now, last 2 days. You know, they've been sort of driving down. One of the worst stocks I hold, I've got to say, is Andalas, down heavily yesterday and down again today. There seems to be no communication from the guys. We're not having a lot of information about what's going on. So they obviously are busy doing stuff, but I mean, what are you doing, guys? Are you still there?
I agree. We need some news. We need some information fast. I mean, we saw some information out early this week about from them regarding the power shortages in Jakarta, which it's worth bringing to the attention of the investor. Indonesia state firms told a triple investment to help stoke growth. There is such a power shortage over there. And alas, are in the right place. But my guess is that the reason we're not hearing anything is that given probably the excess of news earlier in the cycle for Andalas, they're now concerned that the news flow that is published is on firms' solid data. So they're going to wait until there is some firm solid data from the region that they can relay to the investors. And um, so we can start to see some sort of time frame in terms of earnings, in terms of growth potential, everything else. I don't think anyone doubts that the potential is there in Indonesia and the demand for power is there. What we need is some firm data from the Andalas projects so we can talk about it and start to do the math. There is some data that can be extrapolated from previous announcements. The mobile power plants that Andalas will be engaged in constructing, there's a cost of about $15 million there, and I think a potential return of anything up to $100-$120 million. So the potential is there, but clearly when there's no news from the company, investors are drawing their own conclusions and some are losing patience and jumping out, and it is a disappointment, but that's sometimes the way these things go, and you've got to take a sort of you've got to take an 18 month 2 year view.
Well, we have to now. Anyway, looking at other stocks, Alan, what are you looking at today?
Well, That was
Andalas. No, it wasn't. I'm joking there.
Is that my time up? Have I got to go?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've been trying to find companies that have consistently delivered growth over a period of time. And there's a company that stands out in this regard to me. It's a company called Breedon Group, BREE. Investors may know it better as Breedon Aggregates, but the company changed its name in the summer after the acquisition of Hope Cement, which was a $336 million acquisition. So it's a big acquisition for the company. They've now got a market cap of just over $1 billion. But what do they do? They're the UK's largest independent construction materials group. They supply aggregates, asphalt, concrete, cement, concrete products. They have a contracting division. They have divisions in the north and the south. And they have a stake in traffic management companies, in mobile concrete companies, and other operations. But what stands out about this company is its performance. If you look back over the past 5 years, every year this company has grown. So the last year it's grown by 15%. Over the past 2 years it's grown by 77%. It's grown by 115% over the past 3 years and 327% over the past 5 years. And this is a company that has just steadily grown through acquisition. It operates throughout the UK, and at the time of the interim results in the summer, the company delivered growth on revenues, EBITDA, and pre-tax profits. Earnings per share grew by 16%. But the exec chairman, Peter Tom, said the market uncertainty following Brexit was creating further opportunities, and This is a company that clearly thrives in adverse conditions and is just able to grow. So although at 74p at the moment, the company is pretty close to its year high, I would view any retracement from the highs, anything down to down to the 70p level as a great opportunity to buy into this growth story. The only downside is that it doesn't offer a dividend at the moment. But if you wanted to get into a company that occupied a unique niche position and had consistently delivered growth over the past 5 years, look no further. This has got to be a great bet.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the chart there, and they've just broken out from a... It's almost like they hit, like, 77.5p a peak there in May, and they had a big sell-off there. That was obviously the Brexit thing during July. Right. Yep. And they went down to 55p, and they bounced back up. A series of sort of two lower highs, but then they've broken that sort of downtrend. And so it'd be nice to see if they can get above that 77.5p now, because that's the last sort of high they had. So, yep. Yeah, but a strong rebound from that Brexit vote, wasn't it?
Really strong rebound, but also all of the brokers are universal in their view on the company. You've got Jefferies, Peel Hunt, Berenberg, Cantor and Numis, all with buy ratings. Peel Hunt has the lowest price target, 77p. Jefferies does at 84p. The rest are all over 80p. So you know, clearly this has caught the eye of the city. It's a great company. I think one of the reasons for the sell-off was that the founder sold a block of shares back in the summer as well, but he's still invested. He's still got some 10 million shares in the company, so he's still sort of the guy is still heavily invested into the company. So there's very little to indicate that this rate of growth might slow down. So I think as a growth stock, if you were looking at something to hold for the medium to long term, this has got to be one to consider.
Marvellous. That's Bree. Only two E's there, though. Cheers, yep. Al, and speak next week, fella.
Thanks, Just. Yeah, speak next week. All the best.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Guest right now is Chris Bailey of financialorbit.com. You all right, Chris?
All right there, Justin. Yeah, not too bad. Thank you. Not too bad.
Yes, well, it's been a bit of interest. I mean, I've seen some of the stocks around. I mean, copper's going crazy, and on the reverse, gold has taken a smash there. We'll talk about that in a bit. What are stocks you looking at the moment? What's that news out, Chris?
Yeah, so two things of real interest for me in the UK market over the last 24 hours. The first thing is Thomas Cook. The turnaround revitalization strategy there continues apace. First dividend in 5 or 6 years. Shares up nicely yesterday. That's Wednesday. But still, as I look at Thursday morning, moving up as well. I talked a couple of months ago, about this stock being potentially moving back to a pound. I think that's still on. It's sort of flirting with 80p at the moment. Mm-hmm. Lots of scope still. The bottom line is this. It's not expensive, but clearly it's all wrapped up in people's fear about geopolitics, about uncertainty, unfortunately things like terrorism, Brexit, will British people still want to go on holiday and stuff like that. The reality is what they're seeing is that people still do want to go on holiday. And because they're experienced, they shifted a lot of their packages and stuff from places like Turkey, which were a bit more impacted by all of those issues, to mm-hmm. places like old school places like Spain and Mallorca and stuff like that.
Tenerife,
that absolutely, they even mentioned that in the RNS. You know, you had all this, it was like going back to the 1970s, basically. Yeah. But that old school sort of package holiday kind of thing, I reckon that's what people want. And actually, you can get some great deals. The fact that the pound is a bit weaker against most currencies has not impacted it so much so far yet. I think Thomas Cook here is still a buy. I think it's a stock that's still on the revitalization scope. And I definitely use the strength of the last couple of days as an indication that actually there's more to come. And kind of those institutional investors are kind of saying, having given it a bit of a wide berth over recent years, actually this might be one worth having a look at.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the chart does look good, actually. Okay, what other companies been issuing some news today, good or bad?
Yeah, good or bad. Well, we've got to go a bit of bad now, I think. And that's HSS Hire, mm-hmm. which tool hire business, plant hire business. And it hasn't been listed that long, just a year or two. And it's been an absolute shocker. I've never invested in this company, but I watched it closely because I like the sector. I think things like hiring tools and stuff, it makes a lot of sense in a world of lower growth. And you're seeing companies like Ashtead going great guns on their strategy, both sides of the Atlantic and the States and here. And you may have seen in cherry pickers, Lavendon got a bid the other day. So, you know, there's a lot of good stuff going on in this sector. But as always, when some companies are doing well, other companies are doing less well. HSS Hire, again, another profit whoopsie this morning. Effectively, their excuse this time is that they're having to invest in the business in order to, I guess, stay competitive and maintain market share. And that's nobbling their profits and profitability in the short term. You know, my view is, as always, good companies invest all the time. And in this sector, it's very clear. I like the space, but you still should be sticking with names such as Ashtead in the big caps and something like Speedy Hire, which has had an active investor on their case, but actually had a good statement the other week saying profits were going to be ahead of expectations. There's good stuff going on in this space. Just avoid things like HSS Hire. It's funny with shares. They kind of, companies, once they issue a profit warning or two, often it's three or four, and HSS Hire is still in the midst of all of that angst. Avoid it, you know, leave that one to the experts. I like the space. There's probably still a bit in Ashtead to go. It's had a great run, but probably for mid-cap investors, something like a speedy hire, continuing to turn around with the active investor kind of on their back, is probably a just as good a place to look.
Yeah, you're right. They can't use investing in the business as a reason, because that's assuming that no other company does that. You know, all companies are doing that in their space, and they're managing to a profit. You know, so what they can't use that as an excuse.
Absolutely. Here's the problem. Here's what happened. A year or two ago, they were going to look to IPO, and they thought, right, let's make the metrics look as good as we can. So they sort of hunkered back a bit on the investment, and consequently, that ate into their kind of their credibility and their how competitive they were, and it led to a few profit whoopsies. And the trouble is, they know that you can't cost cut your way to success in this sort of business. You know, because your plant hire and your tools, whatever, they get old. You need to invest in some new stuff, or actually consistently invest. If you look at what a company like Ashtead does, it's very clear about that. So they've dropped a big ball there. They're scrabbling to catch up. Whether they ultimately ever will or not is another question. But my view is it's a serious avoid. I'm afraid management, which has been evolved already, probably needs to be evolved again to really get a grip on this thing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and we have talked about previously, but Rangold and now with Trump coming in and China and everyone saying that the economy's on the up a little bit, gold has taken a back seat, hasn't it, really? It's really dipped below that $1,300. What do you think in regards to Rangold?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right, Justin. Gold has come back. In fact, actually flirting with going below 1,200. And the reality is, I think this Trump lover will at some point end. You know, we'll have to see what President Trump means. And by no means, I don't think he's going to be a disaster. I think he's kind of showed some interesting flashes of colour so far and sort of presidential thought. He could actually be the best thing that's happened to the US economy for a long time. But there's going to be a few bumps on the road. We know that things like deficits are going up, and we know that inflation is going up as well. Now, I don't think that the Federal Reserve are going to raise rates that much. And you put all of that into the mixer, and gold as an asset class should come back into favour during 2017 in a material and clear way. So what I've been saying to people is, I still like a nice selection of actively managed equities, and I still like a little bit of cash for dry powder. I don't like bonds still. I'd be still minimising my bond holdings. They've backed up recently. I think they're still going to underperform over the next year. But have a bit of gold as a mixer. I still recommend around about 10% of a diversified portfolio in gold. How you do it is up to you. Physical ETFs can kind of be okay. But my personal view is some gold equities are looking good and very attractive value here. Rangold will still be uppermost in that front, but things like Polymetal as well in the London market look all right. But Rangold here, mid £50, screaming buy, and my personal view is I would highly recommend it, and I have been augmenting my position already. I think it's now my biggest pension fund holding on a private basis. So I think very good value here in my view, and I think you'll be rewarded over the next year.
Yeah, well, do you know what? Last time we spoke, what I did say is at a crucial level there, support level. It broke down below that, and now it is at another support level at 50 area. And it peaked at that level, when was that? Back in 2015, it was a resistance there, and there's been support, you know, earlier in the year there. So we'll see, you know, be interested to see if it holds here. But it definitely, it's almost halved in price in the last, 6 months.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Now, I mean, I've been both sides during 2016. I did for the first time in many years top slice aggressively at 80 plus and I think 90 plus pounds earlier in the year. But I've now built back those positions and a bit more at these new and improved prices. So, my view is risk reward is very good here, and I would be all over it like a rash.
Marvellous, Chris. Lovely to chat to you. Speak again next week.
Have a good one. Thanks a lot.
Okay, it's time for today's suggested one for your watch list. It is Geiger Counter Limited. I haven't heard of this company. It's a GCL ticker, suggested by Cat Flap. Thank you very much for submitting this, Cat Flap. What does the company do? GCL is an investment trust which invests in uranium exploration companies and companies involved in uranium production. That's quite interesting, because I know the uranium price at the moment is quite low, but I've had Paul Athley from Buckley & Hear on, and they say when the uranium price goes, it really goes, and there's looking fundamentally to be, like I said, a supply deficit next few years. But like I said, do your own research on anything that's mentioned on this podcast. Okay. So how many shares does the company have an issue? 75 million. What's the current price and market cap? It's 18.125 pence. Market cap, 13 million. What revenue and profit and loss does the company generate? For the 6 months to the 31st of March 2016, income was 20,000. No revenue, but income was 20,000. And their loss before tax was 111,000. How much cash or debt does the company have? They have a bank overdraft of 1.6 million. List three reasons why people should put this company on their Vox Markets watch list. The future is nuclear. Demand for energy is expected to triple by 2050, and there are over 500 new nuclear power stations planned worldwide, including Hinkley Point. At 500, really? Wow. Number two, the share price was hammered following the Fukushima and subsequent weak uranium spot prices, but is recovering, trending up off 11-year lows of 10 pence. And number three, trading on a hefty discount to NAV, or net asset value. And net asset value as of the 22nd of the 11th was 19.64 pence. All right, so that's Geiger Counter Limited, GCL. Please do your own research on that. It was suggested as one for your watchlist by Cat Flap. Thank you very much for that. All right, time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Sapura. Oh, hang on. That's Cat Flap calling me. I maybe got something wrong. So do your own research. At five, Sapura. At four, Canadian Overseas Petroleum. At three, Hurricane Energy. At two, Horizonte Minerals. And at one, the most followed company in the last 24 hours on the Vox Markets website is Solo Oil. S-O-L-O. I've seen a lot of mentions of those talking about going towards spud date. All right, here are the most liked RSs on the Vox Markets website today, and there's a lot of equals here. So there's three at number four, and that is MySquare, update on gaming business and fast sell. Also at four is Ferrum Crescent, same amount of likes. Ferrum Crescent, exercise of options and issue of equity. Also at four, Providence Resources, operational update and Frontier, which you heard Tony talk about in the podcast earlier. Now, a joint second place. It's Highland Natural Resources with the interim results. They're joint with Seeing Machines, their AGM statement. But the most liked RNS on the Vox Markets website today was CloudTag, the posting of the circular. Exciting, yeah? So that's it for the podcast today. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, they're just investment ideas, a stepping stone on which to base your research. All right? So thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
This Independence Day, wrap yourself in comfort and freedom with Minky Couture. From stars, stripes, and snuggles to cozy classics, our luxury blankets are proudly made to comfort. Whether you're watching fireworks or hosting backyard barbecues, be proud to be cozy all summer long. Celebrate comfort. Celebrate freedom. Celebrate you. Shop now at minkycouture.com and make your 4th of July unforgettably cozy.